Hello, it's Andrew Harrison here with something extra for Oh God, What Now listeners. There's a brand new series of our science, psychology and technology podcast, Why, starting today, with a new look and a new presenter. Emma Kennedy, author, screenwriter, lawyer and Lego black belt, will be exploring the outer limits of science and psychology every Thursday for the next 12 weeks. Episode 1, Why Do People Join Cults, is out now and we've got a taster for you. Follow the link in the show notes to hear the whole thing.
Hello and welcome to Why with me, Emma Kennedy. Each week I'm joined by two guests to delve into the psychology, philosophy, sociology and science of why we are the way we are. Why is the podcast for curious minds. I've never been in a cult, unless you count that time I became obsessed with the Danish Scandi-Noir classic The Killing and ended up writing a book about it and following Sophie Grubble around for months. With her permission, I might add, but still. There was a brief window where, if she'd asked me to move into a basement and surround myself with icons of knitted jumpers, I'd have said yes. But she didn't, so we all lived to tell the tale. But it strikes me that all cults begin with a charismatic leader who is able to exert extraordinary control over his or her followers. It's not just religious cults, there are political cults too. Look at what's happening to the Republican Party in the US as we speak.
I'm going to walk down and I'll be there with you to the Capitol.
Both of which carry the whiff of destruction. But what about the devotion of Taylor Swift? Or Beyoncé, or any global entertainment force. That's fine, right? So what distinguishes liking someone for their talent from falling under the spell of a Svengali? At what point does liking someone turn dark? So today on Why, we're asking, why do people join cults? Rick Allen Ross is a cult deprogrammer and specialist. He's the founder and executive director of the Cult Education Institute and is the author of Cults Inside Out, How People Get In and Can Get Out. Rick, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So let's start with the basics. How do you define a cult?
The nucleus for a definition of a destructive cult has three core criteria. And that is, number one, that there is an absolute totalitarian leader who is the defining element and driving force of the group, who becomes an object of worship. Second, that that leader uses identifiable coercive persuasion techniques to gain undue influence over his or her followers. And finally, third, if the group is to be viewed as destructive, it does harm. So the leader uses his undue influence to exploit and do harm to his or her followers. And that varies by degree from group to group. It could be money, it could be free labor, or it can escalate to criminal behavior.
Do cults generally have a religious aspect, or can you have cults that have no religion attached whatsoever?
There are many cults that have no religious basis whatsoever, which precludes them being called new religious movements. So these groups could be based on politics, therapy, drug rehabilitation, running, diet. It just runs the gamut. For example, Nexium, a group that I dealt with for many years, led by Keith Raniere, who's now serving the rest of his life in prison for sex trafficking and racketeering. That was premised on seminar selling or self-help, and people became involved, went through courses, curriculum, but it had nothing to do with religion, but rather a philosophy put together by Keith Raniere, copied from many different sources, that he called rational inquiry.
Our next guest is actually a former member of Nexium, Sarah Edmondson. We'll hear more from her in part two. Why do people join cults?
I think that anyone could potentially join a cult. If there's one narrative that runs consistently, it's that people who are generally happy and content are not likely to be lured in by a group making promises of fulfillment and healing. So how do people get involved? First of all, we need to recognize that these groups are very deceptive. So it's kind of a bait and switch con. What they initially seem to offer is not really what they're all about. So a person is approached by a friend, a family member, a coworker, someone they trust, typically, and they are told, hey, I know you're not feeling good. There are things that are not going right in your life. Do you think that you could spare some time to attend an activity, a meeting, a seminar that I think might help you a lot? And so someone is lured in, and then once they become involved, then the intensive indoctrination begins. So it could happen to anyone from any background, given the deceptiveness that's involved and the trust that is given to people that we care about.
Is there a common thread, though, that runs through people who are assimilated into cults? Or is it just human nature? You know, you meet someone who's charismatic and that's it.
I think, yes, the people that join are typically idealistic. They want the world to be a better place. They want to contribute. They want to make things better than they are. And they are deceptively misled to think that the group is going to do that. And also very much people who are maybe going through distress. They're going through a bad patch in their life. And someone approaches them who's a sincere believer, someone they really have confidence in. And that person tells them, I have a way to help you, to make your life better, to heal you, to assist you at this time in your life when you're going through a bad patch. And all of us go through difficult periods. But people who are recruited into cults have the bad luck of bumping into or being approached by someone at a particularly difficult period that represents a cult.
So let's talk about the recruiters a little bit. Are there certain kinds of people that recruiters are looking out for? Or does it really depend on the nature of the cult itself?
Well, I think people that recruit for cults, and this is most often now done online and through social media platforms, which has become the recruiting grounds for groups called cults today. I think what they're looking for are people who are relatively young, healthy, or if they're older, that they have assets, they have cash, because what a cult is looking for is someone they can use, not someone debilitated who cannot help the cult gain greater cash flow or contribute to it in some way.
So cult deprogrammer, it's probably not on the list of jobs that a career advisor might recommend in high school. So what exactly does your work entail?
Well, I have done over 500 interventions across the United States and internationally. In fact, I've worked in the UK and I've worked in Ireland. And so what it entails is a family contacts me. They have a loved one that they believe is trapped and locked into a destructive cult. So then I help them to kind of prepare and consider the possibility of an intervention if it can be done. That would rely on ongoing communication and access to the person who's in the group. And then the intervention takes place much like a drug or alcohol intervention. It begins as a surprise, and the person may be initially upset, even angry, that they weren't given advance notice that this is going to take place. But ultimately, most people will agree to continue because they respect their family, their loved ones, and they want to prove I'm not in a cult, because they certainly don't believe that. So then I go through a process that takes probably 3 to 4 days, and that's 8 hours a day typically. So it could be 24 to 32 hours of work. And what we do is we examine what is the definition of a destructive cult, what are recognizable coercive persuasion techniques used to gain undue influence, what research is available about the group that you're involved with that you should know before continuing with the group to make a more informed decision. And finally, why is your family doing this intervention? What has alarmed them? What has drawn their concern? So those four blocks are covered in the intervention. And ultimately, at the end, that person will decide what they want to do. They may take a break. They may decide to leave altogether, or they may say, I wish to continue with this group. And the family will accept that.
That was a taster for the first episode of the new season of Why. You can hear the rest of Why Do People Join Cults right now. Just follow the link in the show notes and it'll take you to your favorite app. And don't forget to subscribe to get every new episode every Thursday.